Yeah, and I think another thing, it seems to me like, one, it's good practice. You might make a fool in front of, 500,000 people instead of, 10 million, or whatever.
It gives you a chance to refine your message in a smaller market, right?
And if it's something where people are going to like buy from you or order from you because you can deliver nationally, your site may not be ready for a national exposure. Mm-hmm. If you've never had that kind of influx on your website, it could crash your website for sure.
Yeah. And the national TV stations will say, can I see one of their recent media interviews? They're national for a reason. Remember the two things. Either they want you on their show because you are directly giving them money to be on it, or because you are so good. What you have to say will be so good and so popular, increases viewership or readership, which then allows them to sell more ads. Either way, circles back to the revenue. So you either want your content to be great or your story to be so fascinating, which 99% of the time, it's not necessarily about you, but how it relates to other people. What will they learn from it? What is their takeaway? And you can do that by starting local, and you'll learn a lot. And then you'll be able to, when you go to pitch yourself, link back to the local press that you've had. And that makes a huge difference to those editors and producers.
You mentioned the last minute for local news. How soon, can you email them week of, just, hey, if you're looking for a last minute segment, or does that need to be kind of a few weeks ahead of time, or how does
Jonathan, you just hire Emily. She's handy.
So here's,
of course, that's the obvious answer, but.
Well, here's the real trick. Ideally, you want to just become your media's local go-to person for your industry. So if, when I was a reporter, I had chefs on my speed dial, basically the brewers, local businesses, go-to people that could just talk about cool things going on around town. And they were people that just got me. They knew exactly what I needed.
Right.
So I would call them last minute and say, hey, do you have it's National Hot Tub Day tomorrow. And for whatever reason, like, it's just anything. My boss wants me to a hot tub place to talk about, okay, that's a really odd holiday I just picked. But
I'm sure it's out there.
I actually know someone who did my course, and she leveraged national, it was bathtub day. That's what it was. It was National Bathtub Day. She got to go on a local TV station and do a whole thing. And she makes homemade bath products for kids and stuff. But so you want to first get in with the media, like do them a favor by giving them a great segment about something that they'll find valuable, something timely, something about one of these holidays or something they're looking for. And then you can really pull that card of, hey, if you need a last minute guest this week, here's my idea. And you can also help them out by giving them other story ideas. If you know someone is opening a cool business, you see something neat is happening, give them some leads. They still like getting those leads, and you're kind of being a source for them first. You're helping them out before you're just asking for a favor.
That's a great tip. Be valuable just as a contact in general. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great tip.
Yeah, so you can be a go-to expert. Like, you don't have to have a brick and mortar store. You could be the expert on for small businesses, and then think my local media here, and I'm sure media did around the country, and all the big ones did too. They turn to their experts on what should small businesses be doing now. What if all of a sudden you had to close your office? We saw a lot of that, leaning on more of our experts that other viewers and small businesses could relate to. Because remember, the media, unless they're a specialty show where they are the expert, I was fresh out of college. I wasn't an expert about anything. So my job was to every day go find an expert on that new law that's passing, or the cool festival that's happening, or this latest thing that's national in the news, and localize it. So that has been a major trend. People saw it, of course, during a pandemic, but every year during flu season, if you were paying attention, you would see that the local media would get their college professor or local doctor on to talk about what's the flu doing this year, and how much is that flu shot really working? Or then there'd be a big earthquake somewhere, and they'd talk about what could the impact be if we ever had something like that here. They always like to localize national events, and that is a trend we've been seeing since the beginning of news.
So
I was going to mention real quick, what's the best way, how do people reach local news? I mean, obviously you're emailing someone. What, I mean, how do, who do they reach out to within a news department or an organization?
Well, there are a couple ways to do it. If, especially if you want to do local news, you know, watch the shows as much as you can. Go to their website. One little hack I have is you go to their website and use the search function and search for like whatever your topic would be. If you own a restaurant, do the search restaurant and look at who just covered new restaurants in town or who was actually covering the beat of food or beer. And there usually is a food and beer person or someone who covers local business at each station. You got to find out who that person is. You want to follow them on their channels. And all this just takes minutes. It sounds like a big deal, but it's not. Once you start following them, sometimes the easiest way can be on social, but the go-to is email. Still is a pretty standard way of reaching out. They don't, you know, want phone calls or anything. And you just email them and be real. Right. Like I was to my dead email list, basically. I just tried to like, obviously you're more personal. You're just going to, you're emailing one person and not blasting a bunch of people, but you just want to like kind of cut to the chase, know that they probably have 100 emails they're digging out from over the weekend and lead with that value of, you know, what's in it for their audience. Why would their audience care about it?
Sure.
So what I was going to ask is, let's say there's a national thing going on. How quickly do you need to try to piggyback on that? Like, is, what's the shelf life of kind of a national thing?
Well, as quick as you can, if you want to be first. The media loves to be first. They do not like old stories.
Yeah.
But there's always a new angle. There's always a new hook to most things that are happening. And some can have a shelf life for a long time. So let's, I'm just going to make something up off the top of my head. You could take the Olympics or something that happens with the Olympics every year. Like what, what's like the hottest story that happened with our recent Olympics? Anything?
Probably Simone Biles dropping out.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
So you saw that. That's a national story. Everyone's talking about it. Mm-hmm. You could quick reach out. It helps now that you already have a relationship or know who you're reaching out to. But worst case, you go to the website and you look at their newsroom email. Most have like pitch us and they'll have just like a newsroom at whatever the call letters are, whatever the station's called. And you could say, hey, I'm a mental health expert or I'm a psychologist. And I, if you would like someone to talk about, you know, to shed some light on this situation and to talk about the reality of mental health and the importance of whatever, and then boom, there's your pitch with your national angle. And the sooner you can do that, the better. But there's usually waves to that story. Like first it starts a story wow, it's a shocker. Here's what's going to happen, just the fallout from it. But then they're turning to localize it. And then what is the importance of mental health? And what, you know, you'll see all those angles come out. I'm trying to think of some other examples.
What about you? So would you say that the person to contact is like the person that does the stories like you used to do? So not the anchors. Do you want to try to, because most of these people now have, I'm just kind of thinking out loud. So most of these people have like Instagram pages now.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you like them, you'd like a story or like a location they're on or whatever, they're going to see your name. So I wonder if that helps, like, then when you email them, like, that name seems vaguely familiar.
Engaging online first is a huge help. I still get people that used to follow my stuff when I was a news reporter that now still follow my Instagram pages. And so, I mean, most of my following, I would say I'll have, I don't know, it was like close to 8,000 or something on Instagram. I've kind of made a lot of people mad lately with my Instagram, so I've lost a few. As I think a lot of us maybe you know, tiptoeing into that. But so I've lost some followers there. But for instance, most of the following I have on most of my pages, I think, you know, like 10,000 on Facebook stuff, most of them are old news viewers. It's not like I haven't really done anything earth shattering in my business world, but they're news people. And they'll still follow me to this day. So there is something, I'll notice their name from back then. And you can follow your local news person and give them tips or even tag them in stories that they think would, if you're doing something cool, that's a little hack I have. If you're doing something cool, tag the local news people and local news stations on it. Nice. Sometimes the people who are running the accounts are, they could be anything from a marketing intern to the producer. A lot of, there are multiple people have access to the station accounts because they're pitching, they're, you know, putting their stories out every day and teasing them online. So tag them and stuff, because then they're going to see, oh, this is a really cool thing that just happened. Yeah, that's a strategy that works really well. But yeah, you email the person, the reporter themselves. You could email an anchor. They're not usually ones who pick the stories. The producers are.
Okay,
sure. But they're a good person to pitch it for you. They love to bring ideas to the table.
So were you your own producer? Did you have a producer for all the things that you were doing?
So I produced my own stuff, but I still had a producer of the show. So I had someone who could say, you know, ultimately they kind of gave me free rein, but they also once in a while would say, we need you to go cover XYZ topics, or, oh, cool, Emily, you're going to be at the zoo for the new panda bear exhibit. Well, no, there is this house fire and you got to go cover it. Yeah. So they got the last say of that. But
so you were like Jim Carrey in the movie, what was he, where he was became God, is that, or got the powers of God or whatever. What was that when he was the reporter? That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yes. That's what you, that movie?
I can't remember the name of it now, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let me recap the secrets, then we'll do the last secret. So the first secret was understand the media is a business. Mm-hmm. Number two was sometimes you're not the story, but sometimes you're part of the story. Number three is everything is a holiday. Number four is tap into the often overlooked but powerful PR opportunity of local media. And number five is?
Yeah, number five is that your actual piece of coverage is only half the media win. The real power is what you do with it and how you can leverage it. And I know as internet marketers, you guys know this, and there's so much power in taking that interview, that video, whatever that story is,
sure, this
third party, credible, validating piece of media, and making sure people see it. Only so many people will see your news story in real time in that market on their TV. Only so many people are going to hear the podcast the first time it airs. There's a reason places will repurpose and keep pushing great content out to their audiences multiple times. And you need to do that too when you get press coverage. Don't assume people saw it. In fact, assume nobody has seen it. Put it out to your email news list if that's something that you do. Use those logos on your website. Share it on social media. What's interesting is from the time when I was working with Entrepreneur Magazine, when I was a video contributor, and the one thing that inspired me to write my email was because my husband sent me a screenshot that morning of his Facebook feed, and it was one of the interviews I did for Entrepreneur Magazine. And it was a three-year-old interview. And so I just said, wait, what? This is recent? This was in your feed just now? That's 3 years old. And he wrote back and said, yeah, well, it's still good content. It's still good stuff. And I was like, whoa. And then I was like, wow, like Gym Launch, it was these founders, co-founders of Gym Launch. I'm like, they should really be thrilled because for 3 years now, they've been reaching thousands of people through this one interview. And you can tell because the engagements had all these shares, over 1,000 likes. And so it just kind of like inspired me to open up my email and email people about the power of media, that 3 years strong, this one interview is still getting circulated. It shows just how valuable an outlet found it to be and how valuable I know that brand found it to be in the media that long.
That's Alex Hormozi, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. He lives right down the road from me. So he's right around the corner here in Austin.
Don't tell him I talked about him. He did end up firing us on a Zoom call that I was like, I am glad I actually showed up for this Zoom call and did not leave my team for it. Yeah. I think I've only been fired once and it was from Alex and it was, no, actually, Alex and Leila are, it is a good, it's an awesome story actually.
Yeah. Well, everybody gets fired eventually, I think.
You know, yeah. I think we did PR for them for like 3 months. We got them some good stuff, but then some of our publicists just, they at the end of the day, they weren't working hard enough, but also PR takes time. But tell that to someone like Alex Hormozi, who's built like 0 to 60 million plus business in like a matter of a year.
Yeah.
He's not taking that. And so it was the whooping.
A little faster than most of us, for sure.
Yeah. It was the whooping my young PR team needed, I'll tell you.
It's awesome. Yeah. So what are some of the things that you can do? Let's say you get on and you're on a 2 to 5 minute segment. That's what most of them are, right? It's 2 to 5 minutes. Like you got that video. First of all, how do you get the video? Is that something you can just ask for? I mean, how does that work?
Oh yeah. So, well, most of them will put it on their website because that's where they're getting most of their viewers now.
Okay.
I always ask before I leave, I've got this little trick. I'm basically just giving you like all my little secrets. In part, did I tell you guys how I don't love media anymore and I don't really care?
Yeah.
This is why I'm giving away my secrets. So I'm all about like figuring out how to leverage the media for your own benefit as much as you can because you deserve to do that. So my little trick is when you get TV coverage, especially, you ask them, hey, is this going to be online? I'd love to share it because you want to share it and tag them. They want you to help promote it. The more they know that you're pushing it out to their audience, that you appreciated what they did for you, the more you're going to get invited back. But before you leave, I call this my up next strategy. You already have your next story, your next hook in mind. So you can say, hey, this was awesome. You know, next month is Mother's Day. I'd love to come back on and talk about the five ways you can support a new mom or whatever your hook is.
Right.
You know, I already have that in your back pocket. So before, after you end a podcast interview, usually like we're going to chit chat and say, okay, that was awesome. Thanks. Where's it going to be posted? I'll share it. That's when you say, by the way, next month, here's the thing. Or, oh, if you ever want me to talk about how you can leverage podcasts to grow, like that's something I could do to you guys, for instance. You do that for anything. If you're interviewed on a podcast, if it's TV, if you are interviewed for an article, you're doing an email back and forth, always have your call to action, like Internet Marketing 101. Use that in your PR too.
That's a great point because we've probably done 100 interviews and I don't think one person said, hey, I've got a follow-up idea we should do.
Sure. Yeah.
And these are all like marketers for the most part. Mm-hmm. Not a single person is. So I don't know if that says something about us or like, I do not want to give these guys another hour.
Nah, they're probably intimidated because they're like, oh, marketers know these things.
Yeah.
But it works.
It's most likely. Yeah.
But also like
I think you just get lazy and I think you forget to prepare for those things.
That too. But like you said, I think Sean or Jonathan, one of you opened it up with, the media wants good content. And so if you can make their lives easier and their jobs easier by kind of serving to them on a platter what they're looking for, and then you already have the next idea for them, you just saved them another 20 minutes of finding a topic.
Such a great point. Yeah. Because people by nature, you know, we're lazy. I mean, not completely lazy, but we drift towards the path of least resistance, right? So if you make their job so much easier, you know, they're open to hearing new ideas. Heck yeah. You know, this is a great idea. I've got a friend in Houston. This reminds me, you know, talking about this, I've got a friend in Houston. He's a bariatric surgeon. So he goes on a show, on a regular show, and has done so for the last several years, but it's a local program called Great Day Houston. And what he does is he brings a lot of his patients on that have had laparoscopic surgery, bariatric surgery, and they tell their stories right on the show. And so, you know, they cover different segments on a regular basis, like different aspects of that, but it's all tied back to, you know, changing your habits. And, you know, that's a big thing with him, like not just a quick fix. You know, bariatric surgery is not a quick fix, but it's all about it's the beginning of a lifestyle change where you have to start changing some habits in your life. And he talks about that, but he's always, you know, when he does a show, he's always like, in the past, he's been priming them for another segment or, you know, another idea for another topic that they can do on a follow-up. And that makes them, they're always just reaching out. You know, they've reached out in the past and followed up with him. And it's been a good relationship between the two. So
Emily, let me ask you this, like, are you going to be more likely to like go into the studio or be on location? Like what's kind of the trend you're seeing right now?
Well, it used to be to come in studio if you're local, but now even that during COVID times, they switch to the Zoom interviews and they're kind of just keeping it. A lot of them are keeping it that way. Some are going back into studio, but now what's really cool is it's created just the opportunity where Zoom can be acceptable no matter what. So right before COVID, a couple months before things got shut down, I went on like 6 red eyes in a row, like each week around the holidays to do my holiday gift guide. So I had this thing, like I had the agency, we'd have all these parenting products were a big niche of ours. And I would come up with a gift guide like every quarter and I would hop on a plane and go all the way out to LA to go on KTLA Good Morning and be like, here's my gift guide. And so I had to fly around. It was exhausting, it was expensive. And I had young kids at home. So when COVID happened, I just started filming with my iPhone. Talk about saving time and money. I filmed my segments on my iPhone and edited them and sent them out to even more stations nationwide. And they started airing my stuff. So now like, I don't leave my house. I don't wear pants most days. It's great. I don't really do that so much anymore. I'm getting away from all of that. Mostly just because I don't love the the industry. I also don't love the sure. consumerism culture and promoting like buy, you have to buy these things. And because mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of that, but if yeah. you want to leverage the media or you have a great small business, you need to use it to promote, the media is still a really powerful tool. I still believe, even though there are so many changes, it's still one of the most effective ways, like convincing ways to reach a new audience, because people, I think we're seeing this, people believe what they see on the news, right? People just believe.
At least half the people do.
Yeah. A good majority. Exactly.
Well, it depends on the station, I guess.
That's right. Exactly. There's it depends on which platform, yeah. right?
Exactly. Right.
Exactly. But people just still find it really validating. They find those logos incredibly validating. And I still think there are some reporters out there that are looking to share good, you know, true stories, but you got to frame it in the content they want. And it's not usually just, hey, think of that Ripple Rug story. It's not about his business. It was about the bigger story he could relate to others.
Are you a fan of Ryan Holiday? Do you read any of his stuff?
I actually love Ryan's content. I don't believe in a lot of the same things he does, but I really enjoy his content and his podcast. I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah. That was an eye-opening. The first time I read, I think many, many years ago when I read his book, Trust Me, I'm Lying, I was like, whoa.
I never read that one. That's his first one, right?
Yeah that was his first one. But it was like, it was really an eye-opening, experience for me to see how someone can manipulate the media like they do. I mean, you see the game that's played. That's a great book to start with to see, you know, how he used it. He uses a lot of examples in that book. But I'm curious, how effective, in this day and age that we're in, are, you know, these press, you know, sending out press releases, and how should you, I guess, format those if you're actually using those to try to blast them out?
Yeah.
And even if that works anymore.
Right. So it works if you want to be a scammer. There are some ways it truly works, and some ways you can be a scammer. Sure. And then the ways that you don't even waste your time. What you'll see right now, there are entire agencies. There are always going to be these, like, because the opportunity for media can be so big, it's also just prime for scam artists. And I was sharing, I share sometimes on my Instagram, I get so many DMs from people offering guaranteed press in Forbes, Inc., Entrepreneur. That ethically cannot exist. I was a contributor for Inc. and Entrepreneur, and I sign ethical statements saying I will not accept money and all this stuff to be featured. Now, it doesn't say, like, for instance, Gym Launch got featured. And they weren't a client then. Now, when I later on went to pitch them, they hired me. That was after the fact. But people will now say, you want to be in Forbes, Inc., whatever it is, just pay me. And they'll come to somebody like me at the time when I was a contributor and say, will you write about our clients for this amount of money? That is, it's illegal because you sign a contract saying you won't do that. So there are people who will do like scam services like that. Or what they do is they take press releases. Entire agencies, their only strategy is they invent, like we talk about invented holidays, they invent the top internet marketers of the country awards or something like that. And they put out a press release where they name the top 10 fitness influencers and you buy a spot to be, and they're really SEO visible press release. And that's all it essentially is something on a newswire that gets huge SEO and gets picked up then by Yahoo and all these other Google Finance and other sites, but it's completely fake. Now, there is a good way to use press releases, and we work, so pre-COVID, heading right into the pandemic, 80% of our reoccurring revenue is actually in hospitality and restaurants. We're working with franchise companies around the country. So yeah, overnight, 80% of our revenue just dropped. But if you're in the restaurant business and you're doing a lot of grand openings, press releases still work, because in your local markets where you're doing your grand openings, it helps the local news tell your story, and especially the print outlets love it because they will just like copy and paste your press release now. They're so short on staff. You've got all the storytelling, all the facts in there. They love a good press release. But on a national level, not so much. It's really the pitch that matters, finding the right person that will tell your story.
Right.
All right. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. So you got any more questions, Jonathan, before we let Emily...
I think it's a good point, a good takeaway from that is that you really should start on a local level, before you start reaching out to the national media and build a foundation there, because, you know, these local outlets are hungry for stories. So, I mean, you're coming up on, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, Christmas. So,
and well, I mean, if you think about it, most people probably live within a 3 or 4 hour. Well, now you don't have to drive. Like you said, Zoom is so acceptable now.
Yeah.
But if you could get on, you know, there's usually what, 3 or 4 networks in each town.
So yeah. There's four. ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS. Yep. Sometimes yeah. there's like a CW.
Right.
And pitch them an idea and make it really brief. Tell them what you're offering and exactly what you're asking for. Don't beat around the bush. This is not a time to play sure. coy. And like, it's like asking someone out on a date and thinking now you're expecting them to write you an email and invite you on the show. Just say,
right.
I'd love to come on your morning show. Like, yeah. Look at their website, watch a couple shows, understand that, oh, live guests are coming in studio, it looks like, or, oh, it seems sure. like they're taking people on Zoom. Cause then you can say, I'd be happy to hop on a Zoom for your show, or we can pre-record, or I'll gladly wake up at 5 a.m. And we have, sure. so locally, we always called it the red couch at our Fox studio. We have our guests would sit on the red couch. And so people would email in their idea and say, I'd love to join you on the red couch with my coffee at 6 a.m. We'd be like, okay, clearly this person gets it. They're going to be good.
Come absolutely.
You know,
well, what I was
what's
say
in
is,
it for me? That's the key.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The but old Brian you, Tracy, W, what is it? W-I-I-F-M.
Yep.
What's in it for me?
Yeah. But yeah, you can, if you can just get on 4 or 5 shows, you can hand that off to any sure. high school editor, create a sizzle reel. You know, that talking about reusing content mm-hmm. where you've got 5 newscasters in a studio or on whatever, like introducing you and saying your name, that's really powerful.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. much better than, I think, than just having the logos there. If you can have a quick little sizzle reel that you've been on these different shows and whatever, whether it's live or Zoom or whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We've got a friend that did, you know, David, Sean, yeah. David Dutton over in Nashville. He did. So he's got, you know, his business is on how to pay off your home in like 7 years, 7 or 8 years. So it's a system that you follow. So he invited a mathematics professor, you know, to come on his show to explain like the math involved and how you can literally pay off your home in 7 years, you know, yeah. using this system. And it was kind of, you know, it add a lot of legitimacy to what they yeah. were, obviously they were claiming. But did that on a local level, invited the guy, paid the guy to come down, and they did it on a local show in Nashville. And they're repurposing that like crazy right now. Yeah. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, you're in Nashville, right?
I'm in Knoxville, but Nashville's okay. like 2.5 hours. So.
So one of our franchise groups, well, Lindsay, who I told you about, the marriage counselor, all yeah. the press she did using that technique was in Nashville, but we mm-hmm. had a Sweetwater's coffee and tea franchise open in Nashville. Our other little hack that we do is we tell them, if you are a restaurant or cafe or you have a business that has stuff, your brewery, drop off your goods. Call now. You got to call the station in advance. Let them know. Yeah. Okay, I'm a local business. I want to drop off a press kit to the newsroom. So we had them deliver coffees and teas and in their swag. And then sure enough, that next morning, there are the anchors holding the Sweetwater's coffee and tea mugs, drinking out of it. And they put a little lower third down that said grand opening coming soon.
That's good.
Because oh, I love it. It goes right along with your last podcast where you're talking about that famous email that was actual like mail marketing.
Yeah.
Your pitch or your press release in an inbox is easily overlooked. It could go to spam. It can be forgotten sure. about. You deliver food to a newsroom. Mm-hmm. Your press release is going to be viewed by many people. And even if you don't have a food business, let's say you guys want to promote your podcast, you could deliver a cool, because we do all the restaurant week and beer month type of press here in Beer City, USA. So I know it works. You yep. deliver a bunch of swag of beer and some t-shirts or hats of your podcast saying we're celebrating our, you know, third anniversary, whatever it is, two newsrooms with your hook. Like, what is it you're asking? You're going to probably get more of a response, or at least then you can follow up and say, hey, did you get all that awesome beer we sent? You're going to get a reply sure. better than if you just sent an email.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I mean, sales reps have been doing that for years. Jonathan's a sales, you know, he does industrial sales and has yep. to go to the physical locations. I mean, mm-hmm. box of donuts, bagels, whatever. Like,
oh, they love it. They eat it up.
Still works. Still yeah. works. That's Tape why that I press said, release inside the donut box top.
I've leveraged National Donut Day more than I can count for things that had nothing to do with donuts, but it was an excuse to deliver donuts to a newsroom with a completely different press release topic.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, pharmaceutical sales reps, that's their bread and butter is buying lunch for the offices for doctors and nurses. And, you know, and it gets, it's on their expense account because it works so well.
Reciprocation, reciprocity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It works every time.
Yeah. feed people. You know, makes them happy. So, exactly. All right. Well, Emily, where can people find you and learn more about what you do and like who's your ideal client?
Yeah. If you go to emilyriquette.com, I see you've got it down there. You guys are so fancy here. This is awesome. I feel like I'm on CNN right now. Although
Sean is, he's pulling the trigger on this. He's like loaded everything up here.
Yeah. This is like Fox News spotlight here. Yeah. So emilyriquette.com. So as I mentioned, I kind of took the opportunity to jump off the hamster wheel when COVID hit. It gave me a great chance to just reassess if I was even happy doing what I was doing. And the reality was I really wasn't. Part burnout, agency life, media, there have been a lot of changes. And I'm just enjoying really being a mom and leaning into my media mastermind I have where I teach people techniques like this. But we also give them a lot of the tools, the templates. I rewrite their pitches. We give them some media lists, the editorial calendars. We do a lot of the heavy lifting for them. But then helping them actually execute their own plans. Or if they have a team, they'll put a team member. You put your marketing person in the program. And then we rewrite their pitches and make sure they actually get results. And people do get results. If you actually do the work, do the proven method, send out the pitches, do our follow-up hacks and techniques that we use, you're going to get results. So, and that's where I'm really focusing my time now and all about stepping away personally from the media as much as I can.
There it is. There's the website.
There it is. I've got a free guide. I've got a podcast called The Amplify Show that you can listen to.
And oh, cool. I'm going to subscribe. Is that a weekly show?
Yeah, I try sometimes once in a blue moon, it's bi-weekly, and once in a while, it's every few weeks. But I'm on a good roll lately. I interview a lot of authors. We talk about how to amplify your business and your life, but a lot of life topics. Like you were talking about stoicism earlier. I do quite a bit on that and other ancient philosophies, about a bit on faith and motherhood. So especially if you're a mom entrepreneur, I think it'll resonate a lot.
Emily, I'll be reaching out to you because I do a podcast in the manufacturing and industrial sector in composites manufacturing. So I do a couple of different podcast shows in that industry. So I think this topic would be awesome for so many of our members in the industry.
Yeah.
They're made up of mostly, obviously manufacturing companies, but, I think this would be a great topic to share with them for sure. Going out to a big trade show next week in Dallas where, it's, some of them have no clue. I would dare say that probably 90% of these companies have no clue how to use what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And I'll be talking with them.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, I want to have you on my other platform.
Yeah, I'd enjoy that. It's a big opportunity. I think it's probably one of the more intimidating ways to market yourself. But once you realize it's not that scary and it can be a really powerful tool for your business, then you're kind of stupid not to leverage it when it's right there in front of you.
Sure.
And they need you. I mean, you've kind of mentioned that, but they need the material as much as and the content as much as you need them, if not more. So
absolutely.
All right. Well, Jonathan, I'll let you wrap it up. I want to send Emily to the green room and we'll wrap up and we'll come
back
to you.
Thank you guys so much. Cheers to you. And I appreciate you having me on. And Sean, thank you so much for reading my email.
Yes. Yeah. Hang tight in the green room. We'll come back to you as soon as we wrap.
Emily, it's been a pleasure. I'll be reaching out to you for my other podcast shows, but hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
You as well.
Let's see. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I love that.
So the big five secrets, they're all in there. Just start using them.
Yep.
All right.
I love the tip on, going local first, I think is a great, I think people make the mistake. so many businesses make the mistake of thinking, you know what, I'm not going to stoop down to these local markets. I'm going to go big.
Right? Well, I think too, a lot of the people, a lot of our listeners probably do have a more national, international
sure.
ability to offer services or products or whatever they're mm-hmm. doing. So it's easy to overlook local because it seems like a step down.
Right.
But if you can get that video and get that footage and
absolutely,
it really does add a lot of, it's that third party proof that, you know, is better than most anything else you can do right now.
Absolutely. Cause it's all about repurposing. Once you got that video, use it. I mean, I think it's perception, you know, perception is, it plays a huge part in it. So who cares, you know, if they see a video on your website or your landing page where you're getting interviewed from, you know, even if it's a local affiliate, who cares?
It's got weight. Like, it definitely does.
It definitely has weight.
So and I think you need, I actually think video is, you know, it's kind of a step above the logo bar because so many people mm-hmm. have the logo bar now that's it's still effective. But it's not what it was three or four years ago, five years ago.
Yeah.
So I think having some video footage would be good if you can get it.
Yeah, I think people have been playing on that bar for a long time.
Yeah.
So it does help. The video does help.
Yeah. The bar still works. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. It automatically gives some credibility right there. You see Fox or, you know, whenever we have guests on. You know, that's one of the things that I look at when we invite guests on is like, okay, whoa, they've been featured on Fox Business or, you know, CNN or whoever. Anyway, great show. Good topic. As always, you can find us over at persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your podcast platforms, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. And Sean, it's been fun, man. We'll see you guys next week.